Hallelujah. All right. I'm happy to be here today. Are you happy that I'm here? I'm happy you're here. I mean, I don't want to just talk to the chairs, you know. Praise God. All righty. Wow. A good day. It was nice to wake up to a brisk October morning, so November. And thanking God for that. Praise God. Today, I have a lot of scriptures running through my heart, and God has really been blessing me with some good thoughts, and I truly believe that God has a word for you this day. It seems that, again, so many of my sermons seem to evolve into a series that I hadn't even contemplated, but as I have delved in again to the word, God has spoken to my heart, and this seems to follow up very well with the thoughts that I had. Interesting, as Michael read that scripture from Hebrews about surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, the title of my sermon this day is Under a Cloud. And I was wondering, there's many ways to look at that. So we will look at that in some way. Sometimes the simple truths have profound consequences as we take them into our lives. And I will be giving you the scriptures I'm going to read later on, but just a couple of thoughts as to one of the things that was said to Jesus by Pilate after Christ had said his commission here was in John 18:38, where he says to Jesus, "What is truth?" And I think that that is a thought that runs through the minds of many people today, because I know in our society, many people take it to, as a thought that there is no real truth in the world. Everything is relative, and so there's no basis on which they base truth. It just depends on what the situation is. And when Pilate asked that question, obviously it would seem that he was mocking. Yeah, what is truth? You know, that was more of a statement and a mocking than asking a question. In fact, he was even inferring that that it might have an answer to it. I don't think he was indifferent to the answer in that. And many say that they want to know truth, but they really will not wait upon the Lord long enough to hear the truth that God has for them. People seem to rush by so quickly and never really want to stop and hear what the truth is. We had a thought the other night as to salvation. And at times I think that salvation is a process. Just because you happen to say the sinner's prayer one day, I don't believe always that that has really come into your understanding, that you know that you are born again by the blood of the Lamb and all that Christ has done and who he is. Sometimes people just are led in maybe to an emotional thought, or maybe they truly feel touched by the love of the people. But I believe that salvation at times seems to be a process in which we grow until we come to a deeper knowledge of Christ and we are touched by the beauties of his presence as we begin to understand who he is and what he has done for us. So many simple truths that we have, they're basic truths, that what goes up must come down. I mean, that's true. Mathematical truths, 2 and 2 equals 4. obvious truths that I think about, if you don't breathe, then you're going to die. I mean, that's a pretty odd, but I don't believe Pilate was thinking about any of those truths. He was thinking something more when Christ said, Christ could have come back and told him what the truth was, he himself. What he had considered in this was his present truth. The present truth to Pilate was that he was in a situation whereby the Jews wanted to kill Christ, and he had to make some kind of a decision, and he wanted to appease the Jews. So the truth of him was to keep peace in Jerusalem at any cost. He wanted to keep peace and in his jurisdiction. So he came up with the thought of giving Christ over to them, if you remember, obviously remember that, where he washed his hands of the whole situation. The truth to him was to just keep peace. He had no time for religious or philosophical considerations. He just wanted to deal with the present situation. He had to realize in his heart that what was being spoken was spoken by the truth itself, and he did not have the concept that Christ was the way, the truth, and the life. If he had realized that he was in the most important situation of his life, and that who stood before him was the embodiment of all truth, I'm sure that Pilate would have had a different understanding. Jesus could have returned to him and said, well, I am the truth. Everything that I do, I say, and that I am is truth. Amen? We can say amen to that. And I am the fountain of truth. He is the fountain of all truth. All that is true proceeds and emanates from Jesus Christ. And whatever truth that you are contemplating in your present situation is superseded by the knowledge or the understanding that Christ is the ultimate and he is the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help you, God. And so help us, God, to realize that. What was happening here was a fulfillment of the eternal truth of the plan of salvation for the entire world. Christ was standing there ready to be crucified, and it would be that which would fulfill the truth that was stated in the Old Testament, brought through by Jesus Christ as he died on the cross. But as we said before, Pilate had no time to be considering that. He was merely considering the present situation in which he was involved. So I present to you this day the same question that Pilate said, and I say this to you, what is truth? And I wonder if you would think about that in your hearts. We need to put all other questions aside when we think about this and see that the answer to the most important question is Jesus Christ. Pilate asked a practical, physical question. A question, and Jesus is the embodiment of the spiritual answer. In the book of Ruth, now I don't know if you have your Bibles with you. I hope you do. Who has their Bibles with you? Everybody else, get out. No, I'm just kidding. No, please stay. I don't bring mine sometimes too. So, okay, I'm looking at Ruth. It's on page 402. But here, I want to just build this thought for you as to thoughts of truth and things that happen. In the book of Ruth, you know that Naomi has gone to sojourn in another land because Israel was in a time of famine. So she took her husband took her and the two boys, and they went down to sojourn in another land. And it said, now it came to pass in those days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judea, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And so the story goes on to tell us that while they were there in the land of Moab, the two boys married two Moabitish women. And as the process of time came on, first her husband died, and then the two sons died. So the only ones that were left were Naomi and the two Moabite women. And she said to the two Moabite women, go back to your tribes and back to your home. But we know that Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you. And I love that beautiful statement that Ruth makes, to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. And in that essence, we knew that Ruth was touched by the truth of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and she did go with Ruth back home. And when Ruth got back home, she said, no longer call me Naomi. I'm sorry, when Naomi took Ruth back home, Naomi said, no longer call me Naomi, call me Mara, because I am bitter about, and Mara means bitter, and Naomi meant pleasant, but she had felt that God had dealt her a bad hand, so to speak, as she went out full and has come back empty. And so there was the death of her husband, her two sons. She has these two Moabitish women. Only one went back with her. But God had a plan in this. Has anybody ever had some difficulties in their life? I'm telling you today, this is for many people here, that God has a plan in the midst of your difficulties. What happened is that Ruth, at that time, you were allowed to go into a person's field and you could pick up what was left over, what the other harvesters weren't able to get. It was called gleaning. She went into the fields to glean. And it so happened that she was working in a field of a man named Boaz, who happened to be a close relation of Naomi. And Naomi encouraged her to stay there. And it turned out that Ruth ended up marrying Boaz. And the beautiful thing is, when Naomi felt that all had been lost and she was no longer going to have any inheritance in Israel, and somebody would she would lose the property that her husband had, Boaz married Ruth. And they had a child, and the child was given over to Naomi to nurture and to care for. And what had seemed like a tragedy ended up being an amazing bringing together of God's plan. And I will tell you just a little bit more of that at the end of the word. But think about that. She went out empty. She went out full to when she left Israel to Moab, and then Naomi came back feeling like she was empty, only with Ruth with her. But Ruth not only married into the family of Boaz, but they gave Naomi a child to help raise. So her joy had been restored, and there's so many more things that happened in this, and I want to just touch on that at the end of what I have to say. Many today in this congregation and in many places that we find that call themselves Christians and that are Christians, I don't mean to say you just call yourself that, or people that are not Christian, live under a cloud. They live under something that is weighing upon them. Does anybody have anything weighing upon you right now? Some people have health issues. Some people are wondering about their job security. Some people have family matters that are dragging them down. World situations that we are facing, news stories and life and death and so many things and their present situations. And you go through life doing what you're doing, but there is that cloud that seems to just move with you, and you're just somehow not always preoccupied, but it seems that thoughts come back into your heart that just sort of diminish the joy that you have, or the reaching out and finding the freedom to be able to rejoice because this cloud is just hanging over you. The last few Sundays that we had spoken about 2 weeks ago when Christ encountered the woman at the well, and she was looking for the true water, the true living water, but she was looking for a practical solution to that she didn't have to come to the well anymore. And we found that when she finally discovered that Jesus Christ is that living water. And then last week we spoke about Jesus Christ being the truth of the communion, but people were looking for the bread or the manna that Moses had given, and Christ began to show them that he was the true bread, the living bread that came down from heaven, that he would eat of that bread, would never hunger again, because that bread would lead him into eternal life. And so Christ was constantly speaking in spiritual truths when people were looking for some kind of a temporal answer to whatever they were going through in their present situation. And now you find yourselves in that with a cloud over you because of your present situation. And I'm here to encourage you this day that there is more than that cloud that is resting upon your present situation. There are things that only God can satisfy in the person of Jesus Christ. And if we will grasp the truth of that, what a joy and what a release we will have in that. Looking to Jesus in your present trials and the things that you're going through today with the knowledge that he is in them with you. Looking to him in your present tragedies, knowing that Christ is with you of a truth. At times, we've seen people that are doing very well when things are going well, but when a trial comes or a tragedy comes, they fall to pieces. It seems that whatever firm foundation they had was not the foundation of trusting in Jesus Christ. They had only thought that they had built that kind of a foundation. I'm here today to tell you that Jesus Christ is the only foundation to build upon. He's the only one that can answer the important questions of your life. Every other question is extraneous to the truth that Jesus is with you of a truth. Because if tragedy strikes your home, it is not as though God left you. I've just been running through this in my mind for the last few weeks that sometimes when people go through things, and I'm not blaming them, I want to encourage you this day, don't blame God. He is the last one to blame. Seek God and come to him because he has not left you nor forsaken you. Amen? Jesus is with you and he will bring you through the most difficult trial or tragedy you are facing or have ever faced. He will turn those things into triumph. In Christ, you will have a triumphant entry into the joy of your salvation as you trust in him. He will dispel those clouds of despair. Don't let the trials and tragedies pull you away from Christ. Actually, let them draw you closer. We've heard scripture after scripture. Count it all joy when you face various trials, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let that have its perfect effect, that you may be mature or perfect, lacking nothing. God allows trials and tragedies to come our way, not that he instigates them, but even in the life of Job, it was the Satan who instigated that, but God was going to work a far greater weight of glory when he delivered Job from those trials. And he will work a greater weight of glory in your life, no matter what trial you are facing. God will work it out in the person of Jesus Christ. He is there for this present time, your present situation. Don't turn from God, turn to God. That's what we need to do. We have to run into the arms of the beloved. Cry to him. Tell him the things that are going on in your life. Don't turn from him and reject God and say, how could you do this if you are loving God? It's God who lovingly gave his son to die for you. How could a loving God give his only son? That is love to me. A man that would give his son to lay down his life for my salvation, I can trust him in all things. Don't run from God. Run to him. We need to take our minds off those things that haunt us or like a cloud over our head and look to the answer in the truth which is embodied in Jesus Christ. And it's a process. And sometimes you have to wait to see that truth, and maybe you will never get the total answer that you are looking for, but the answer is Christ is able. Christ will bring you through. Christ has given you exceeding great and precious promises. And you should rejoice in those promises. And I can't even say or else it's a fallacy, because Christ rose from the dead, which has been so beautifully presented by Russell in these last weeks at Sunday school. That is the basis on which we stand. Christ rose from the dead. Any man that rose from the dead, I'm going to listen to. I'm going to trust that he has the answer. Christ has the answer. That is your affirmation of his answer. The Bible said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Who believes that God cares for him? But can we not cast all of our care? All right, God, I'll give you the care that the food doesn't burn for lunch this day. But of course, if I'm faced with a major problem in my life, then I've got to worry. I've got to be distraught about this. I got to let that cloud rest upon my head night and day forever and ever. Do you think that's what God has prepared for you? Worry and anxiety? When he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. You think that is some kind of made up, put it on the side of the refrigerator phrase that you can look at and say, it's not true, but it sure sounds good. Or is it true? Is that true? If it's true, I want to live in it all the time. I want to be rejoicing in the truth of that in the good times and in the difficult times. That's what God wants for you. Casting all your care upon him. He is able. He is able. He is omnipotent. He is omniable. He can do all things. I was talking to someone, I said, here's the beauty of, one of the beauties of God. There are a myriad of beauties. But Christ is all powerful. There is nothing that he can't do. Nothing that God can't do. And so that is almost a fearful thought, that God is all powerful. But here is the modifying, the qualifying blessing, that everything God does of his power, he does in perfect love. What's the Bible say? God is love. And all the power that he emanates and brings forth, he does it in love towards you. We are accepted in the beloved. We are loved in the person of Jesus Christ. The Father loves us. The Son loves us. The Holy Spirit loves us. In Genesis 18, when the three come to speak with Abraham about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham says a beautiful word, and he's saying it in 25 of chapter 18, that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Who believes that the judge of all the earth will do right? He will do right by you. He will do right by you. There will be nothing that happens to you that God will bring to your destruction. He has your best interests at heart. And he is, not only is he all powerful, he is all knowing, he is all present, he is unchangeable, therefore, and he does it in love and mercy, everything he does will work out for your good. For your good. God cares for you. I love Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I have toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. When you commit your heart to God, you are in the best possible place. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for he, Christ, has overcome the world. And he will overcome every situation on your behalf for your good. That cloud that is lying over the top of you and seems to move with you, I'm telling you, God will dispel that if you let him. Look to God Almighty. A beautiful long scripture that I'm going to verse. I read. I have two scriptures that are long today, and I do want to read them. But in Matthew 6:19, let me encourage you with these words. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Meaning that if all you are seeing is despair and the things that are evil in this world, and instead you're not seeing the beauties of Christ, then Satan has effectively darkened your eyes. The Bible says that Satan has blinded the eyes of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them and they should be saved. No one can serve two masters, for either will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money or mammon or the world. You can't serve that. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about this life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more worth than the birds of the air? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of your life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, be not anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own troubles be sufficient for the day. Whatever you have to deal with during the day, God will be able to bring you through it. I'm telling you to trust in Jesus Christ. There is no other way. I want you to name in your mind that cloud that is over your head, whether it be health, whether it be finances, whether it be relationships, whether it be bad news, whether it be some tragedy or catastrophe that is happening or has happened, or you fear that is going to happen. God wants to cast those things out with his perfect love. He would not have you in torment. The end of the story of Ruth is beautiful, as I wanted to prepare you for this. Because when Naomi came back with Ruth and she married Boaz and they had this child, the child that she had became the great-grandfather of King David. She was in the royal lineage, but even greater than that, the heritage of David was through which Jesus Christ the Messiah came. Ruth, who was a despised Moabite, and the Bible said that no Moabite should enter into the congregation to the 10th generation, was brought into the kingdom of Israel, gave birth to the heritage that would bring forth the Messiah. Naomi was counting it a curse, but God had a plan. You may count your present situation a curse, But God has a plan. God has a way to remove that cloud from your head. And the way he's going to do that is through your faith in him. God is able. I believe in God. He that receives anything from God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Have faith in God. That is who your deliverance shall come through, not your worry and your stress and your anxiety. Nothing you can do of your worry and of your flesh can ever deliver you from the bondage of that cloud that Satan would so joyously see follow you throughout your days. But Christ came that you might have liberty. You might have freedom. And that would set you free from the bondage of Satan to the liberty that is found only in Jesus Christ. So many people are under that cloud. But the cloud that I want to speak to you about is greater than this cloud of doubt or fear or frustration or anxiety. You should not fear nor despair. We are under a greater cloud than any anxiety could ever bring to you. We are under a great cloud of witnesses that have seen the deliverance of God throughout the ages. And we are under a greater cloud than that, which is the Shekinah glory of God Almighty. And I just speak that into the house this day, that the cloud of God's presence would hover above us, and that we would be showered by the blessing and mercy of God. And that would come upon you in deliverance, in satisfaction, in faith. If you will hear these words this day, I believe the joy of Christ will sustain you. I'm closing with this long scripture from Hebrews 11:18. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, who when he was born, was hid for 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense and of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him that was invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encompassed about 7 days. By faith, harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more? for the time shall fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jesse, of David also and of Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the enemies. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, affliction, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained the report through faith, received not the promise, God having promised some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the race that was set before him despised the cross, endured the cross, and despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, we give you glory, Lord God. We give you glory, Lord God, for the cloud of your glory on us. We give you glory, Lord God, for the cloud of your love, for the cloud of your righteousness, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Let that cloud of despair be dispelled in the name of Jesus Christ. And let the cloud of his righteous glory hover over your hearts from this day forth, as you rejoice in the faith that Christ has placed within you. May the peace of God that passeth all understanding rest and abide with you as you remain under the cloud of his glory. In Christ's name, amen.
Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. To the heavens. It's all about you. So Jesus, be the center of our church. Jesus, be the center of our church. Every knee will bow, and every tongue shall confess you, Jesus. Jesus, oh Jesus, oh Jesus, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, believed on in the world, preached among the Gentiles, received up into glory. We serve the great and the mighty God, and we bless you this day in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. Praise God.
Hear the word roaring as thunder, with a new future to tell. For the dry season is over, there is a cloud beginning to swell. To the skies.